And we are back. Welcome back to another episode of the Deep Press Cincinnati Sports Fan Podcast. I am your host, Jesse. On this podcast, we're going to have our Reds weekly update. We're going to talk about UC football for a little bit. And also, we're going to talk about UC men's basketball as the offseason begins. Transfer portal. We'll see if the UC men's basketball team have made any moves since the season ended a month ago. All right, Reds weekly update. This is number 3 of the season. Last weekend, the Reds were in Chicago taking on the Chicago White Sox for a 3-game series. And guys, the White Sox are a bad baseball team, but it doesn't matter. The Reds took advantage of that, and boy, did they ever did. Sweeping the 3-game series over the Chicago White Sox. Let's recap the series. Game 1 was Friday night. The Reds won 11-1. Ellie De La Cruz homered. Tyler Stevenson homered for the first time this year. And Christian Encarnacion-Strand drove in 3 runs. Andrew Abbott, 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned run, no walks, and 3 strikeouts. That was such a great game to watch because the Reds were just on a mission. And when you're taking on a bad baseball team like the White Sox, you need to take advantage of that. And that's what the Reds did in game 1 of the series last Friday night. So, game 2 of the series on to Saturday afternoon. Reds shut down the White Sox, winning 5-0. The return of lefty starting pitcher Nick Lodolo went really great. The Reds scored all their runs, all the 5 runs in the second inning. Luke Maley had a 2-run single, and then Spencer Steer had a bases-clearing double to make it 5-0. Nick Lodolo in the season debut, he carried a no-hitter into the 5th inning. His final line, 5 2/3 innings, 1 hit, 0 runs allowed, 1 walk, and 10 strikeouts while throwing 91 pitches. So, Nick Lodolo deserves a standing ovation for his opening day debut for himself, and he's very important. And I think that's a big jolt to the Reds pitching staff because they need that. And if Nick Lodolo is healthy, which it seems like he is, I mean, he just looks like the Nick Lodolo that we expected him to be when he came out of college. So it's good to see that his stuff was working. And everybody's probably saying, well, some Reds fans probably saying, well, he's taking on the White Sox. I don't care. They're still a Major League Baseball team. And 10 strikeouts in 5 2/3 innings pitch is amazing for your season debut. So well done, Nick Lodolo. The perfect day. Him pitching well and the Reds winning in shutout fashion. Perfect. On to game 3 of the series, Reds looking for the 3-game series sweep of the White Sox. And they did it, winning 11-4. They were led by CES, who got the scoring going in the 3rd inning with a 2-run home run. And then Cardiano reached on an infield single that scored 2. White Sox got 2 runs in the 4th inning. And then opening day hero Nick Martini connected on a 2-run home run in the 6th inning to up the lead to 6-2. Then the Reds scored 5 more runs in the 7th and 8th. And the final score was Reds 11, White Sox 4. Graham Ashcraft was on the mound for the Reds. He pitched 5 2/3 inning, allowed 5 hits, 1 earned run, 2 walks, and 8 strikeouts while throwing 104 pitches. So, final stats from the 3-game series sweep of the Chicago White Sox. The Reds scored 27 runs and had 27 hits. Standing ovation for that. Well done, Reds. And now the Reds head into Seattle with a 9-6 record, 3 games over 500. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, the Reds will probably just need to take 2 out of 3 from the Mariners. And then we head back home to Great American Ballpark with an 11-7 record into a 7-game homestand. Right? That sounds great. Yeah, that did not happen because it was a Seattle nightmare for the Reds on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. The Reds got swept all 3 games. So they swept the White Sox and then proceeded to get swept by the Mariners. First game, the Reds lost 9-3. Second game, the Reds lost 3-1. And then the series finale, the Reds lost 5-1. Remember when I said the Reds scored 27 runs and 27 hits against the White Sox last weekend? Well, in this series against the Seattle Mariners, the Reds had 5 runs scored and 12 hits in the 3-game set. I don't know what happened. I know Seattle had their top two pitchers pitching in the series with Kirby and Miller, but to only muster 12 hits and 5 runs in the series, that was very frustrating to watch. And honestly, I didn't really watch the games because they were late first pitch starts in Seattle with 9:40 games. There's no way in hell I'm going to stay up to watch that. And I'm glad I didn't. There's some Reds fans that did. And if you are one of those Reds fans that actually stayed up to watch that whole nightmare, kudos to you, because you're a bigger Reds fan than I am. Sometimes the Reds offense, it's still a problem. It really is. When you play a bad team like the White Sox, that's a good way to get your offense rolling and get you guys, get that team some confidence. But the Seattle series was a clear example of how there's a lot of holes in this Reds offense, and it continues to struggle against left-handed pitching. There's really nothing much to say about that. It is what it is with this offense, and I know people are saying, well, not having Matt McClain doesn't help, and TJ Friedl. Yeah, but there's still good players in this lineup. And to come off a series like the White Sox, thinking that you're going to carry some momentum after that sweep, and then you proceeded to get swept. And none of these games were, I didn't even feel like the Reds were in these games. Yeah, they only lost by 2 in game 2 of the series, but watching the highlights and knowing what the Reds' offense is in 2024, you knew that we're going to score no more runs. And then the last game of the series, Ellie De La Cruz hit a home run in the second inning. That was the Reds' only hit the entire freaking game. Like, what are we doing? One hit? One. You only scored one run and one hit in the last game of the series. That came in the second. So the last 7 innings of the game, you were no-hitted. Not good. Not good, to say the least. So that was a real buzzkill after having fun last weekend in Chicago. So right now the Reds' records sit at 500 at 9-9. They're back home this weekend to take on the Los Angeles Angels and Mike Trout for 3 games, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week, the Philadelphia Phillies come to town for a 4-game set. The Reds already took 2 out of 3 from the Phillies earlier this month. And then next weekend, the Reds will hit the road to take on the defending World Series champions, Texas Rangers, for a 3-game set down in Arlington. So that was... the Reds had to at least take 2 out of 3 from the Angels. I mean, I wanted 2 out of 3 against the Mariners, and then they decided, you know, well, we're not going to show up on offense. So you had to take 2 out of 3 against the Angels. And then with the Phillies coming to town next week, you want at least a split. And obviously the Phillies remember what the Reds did to them in Citizens Bank Park, losing 2 out of 3 over there. So they want some revenge. So at least a split in that series. And let's hope Bryce Harper doesn't hit 3 home runs like he did in the second game of that series in Philly earlier this month. Because Bryce Harper is actually hitting the ball really well. And you're going to be playing at Great American Ballpark, which gives up a lot of home runs. So this is going to be a very important 7-game homestand for the Reds. Really important that the Reds really show up. At least 4-3. Okay? If you lose to a series against the Angels, and then you lose to a series to the Phillies and lose 3 out of 4, then we might have some problems. We might have some problems and questions that we might have to ask on this podcast and in general. So let's hope the Reds have a good series and a good homestand coming up this weekend, starting with the Angels. Friday's game is a 6:40 first pitch, Saturday 6:40, Sunday 1:40. And then the Philly series, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday are 6:40 first pitches. And then the series finale on Thursday afternoons, actually a 1:40 first pitch. They're not doing 12:35s anymore with like the business specials when it comes to that for the Reds on the weekdays, on the Wednesdays and Thursdays. They're not 1:40 games, which is very interesting to say the least. All right, so switching sports here in the city. We're going to briefly talk about the University of Cincinnati Bearcats football team. And I know I don't really talk about the football team at all on this podcast because I just don't really like the state of UC football. With it all started with them hiring Scott Satterfield as the head coach. And then they proceeded in year one of the Big 12 Conference to shit the bed, to say the least. Sorry, kid show. And they're in last place, only winning one Big 12 game. And it's just really sad, the state of Cincinnati Bearcats football. And you know what else is sad? Is that I didn't know the spring game was last Saturday until I looked up my YouTube recommended pages. And I am subscribed to the UC football YouTube channel. And it said Scott Satterfield recap spring game. And I was like, wow, I did not know that was happening. Tells you how much I don't really pay attention. And I know I should be talking about them because this is a Cincinnati sports-based podcast. But I'm just really not optimistic about UC football. So I watched like probably 4 or 5 minutes of Scott Satterfield talking about the spring game, and it's a 27-minute video, and I only watched like 4 minutes. And what I got from the 4 minutes that I watched is that he said that he feels like his team coming into this year is at a good spot than they were last season. Whatever that means. Whatever that means. I think he's confident that his team is going to be better this year. I hope they win more than one Big 12 game. It's a sad state of affairs of UC football. And I knew as soon as they hired him, I knew this was going to happen. I wasn't on board. I felt like the hire was just, they were just like, oh, hey, Scott Satterfield, you want to have the head coaching job? I feel like they didn't take their time in the search. They just like took his name out of the hat. And they're like, all right, Scott Satterfield, you're the guy. Like, what? Like, what are we doing? But I promise you guys that I will talk more on UC football. And I owe it to you guys. I really do. And I know there's some of my followers are big UC football fans. And you guys deserve to hear what I think about the team. I'm still a fan. And I will still watch them this year, okay? And I'll go to a game in Nippert Stadium. I'm still a fan. But I'm allowed to be frustrated. I'm allowed to be not optimistic because I knew this was going to happen when they hired this man. And if you want to listen to the previous podcast of my take on Scott Satterfield, you can do that. Go listen to that. Because I don't want to do that right now on this podcast, okay? Go listen to the old episodes of me when my first initial reaction of Scott Satterfield being named the head coach of the UC football team. It's a pretty good one. But I will be doing more research on who's in the roster. And I just hope that they'll have a better year. I really do. Last year, they only had 3 wins. This year, my gosh, if they get to 5 or 6 wins, I will consider that a successful season. Is that possible? I don't know. We got to see how the roster looks. And then they have higher ground and summer conditioning and all that stuff. And then once we hit the fall time. That's when the games begin. And then before the season or before the first game of the season, I will obviously do a podcast previewing the season and going through the schedule, going through the key players on the roster, who's going to make an impact, et cetera, et cetera. So I will do that. Okay? I will do that. It's just right now, we got the Reds going on. We got the Bengals with the NFL draft coming up next week. Just not on my UC football kick yet. But I owe it to you guys. So I will talk about them more as we get deeper into the summertime. All right. Now let's switch sports in the University of Cincinnati with the UC men's basketball team. So the season ended about a month ago in the NIT tournament against Indiana State. And now we're in the offseason. And now the transfer portal's coming, meaning that there's players that are going to go switch to different teams to have more playing opportunities, to have a shot to play in March Madness, or even have a shot to win a national title. And with UC, there's about 2 to 3 scholarship roster offers available. So I think that it's a perfect opportunity for them to use the transfer portal. And they did this week. They landed USC Trojan 6'11", 220-pounder, big man, Arinton Page. I hope I'm pronouncing his first name right. If I'm not, I am sorry, sir. He's a former 4-star, top 60 prospect. And last season, as a freshman for the USC Trojans, he averaged 3.1 points per game. He averaged 2.4 rebounds per game in 10 games. In 10 minutes, I'm sorry, when he played on the court. Now, people say, well, that's not enough. Okay, he was a freshman. Relax, okay? USC probably had players that already were established. So he's a freshman, okay? Relax. Now, with getting Page, what does this mean for Azeez Badengo? Is he gone? Or he's probably going to be testing the waters, meaning that is he going to leave Cincinnati and go to another team? Or does he want or does he think he has a shot to play in the NBA? I am going to be as nice as I can. I don't think Azeez Badengo is an NBA player. Can he play overseas? Possibly, just because of his size. But there's no way in hell this man should be testing the NBA waters. But he has an extra COVID eligibility year. So he can definitely come back next year. And that will be a good tandem between Page and Badengo. Now, with this USC player, I was watching his YouTube highlights and I did some analysis on him. And what I like about him is that he can run the floor as a big man. He's 6'11", 220. And he's also, he can play defense, meaning for a big man, he can stay in front of his defender, say if he's guarding like a point guard. And while playing defense, he can be a shot blocker. He did that a lot as a freshman at USC, where he can impact a game with his shot blocking and just his presence in defensive front. Now, his weakness. Also, he can shoot the three ball from the corner. And that's very rare for UC to have a big man that can shoot the three ball. I think the last big man for UC that can shoot the three, I put that in quotes, shoot the three, because, you know, big men's in today's basketball world, they can't shoot the ball. But with big men in UC, they can. I think the last person to do that was probably Kyle Washington when he was a Bearcat from 2017 to 2018. That's like the last big man for UC that can like shoot the three ball with confidence. So Page can do that. So that's good. Now the weakness for this guy, and this was a weakness for UC's basketball team this past season, is this guy will have the quote-unquote careless turnovers. And I think I have mentioned that a lot on this podcast during the season. It's that this team was so careless and so stupid with their turnovers, man. And I think he fits right in to this culture when it comes to turning the ball over. Because I was watching his YouTube highlights. They highlighted a weakness of him turning the ball over. And this guy will just have... There'll be times where he'll try to make a pass in front of like three defenders. Just like throws it out of bounds. And I'm like, yo, I saw that probably more than 50 times during the season. So he fits perfectly with the culture of Cincinnati Bearcats men's basketball and Wes Miller when it comes to turning the ball over. I had to laugh. I got a great laugh out of that. That was really funny to me. But I'm glad the Bearcats are utilizing the portal. Also this week, they landed a guard out of Bradley, Connor Hickman, a 6'3", 200-pounder who averaged 14.5 points per game, which that's really good, and 3.4 rebounds per game this season for Bradley, while shooting 46.7% and shooting 40.2% for three. We need shooters. This team can't shoot the three ball, you see. And getting Hickman, who can shoot the three ball, was so great. I was like, hallelujah, this is what I'm talking about. And what I like about him while watching his highlights on YouTube this past week is that he's an efficient scorer who focuses on attacking the rim and a high-volume deep shooter. During the season, he averaged 5.9 three-point attempts per game. That's good. And he's a good three-point shooter with a nice shooting touch as well. So I like what UC has done in the portal so far this week. Two players, we need a big man, and we need a shooter. They're addressing the needs that was a weakness this past season. Very good job. I deserve a standing ovation right there. So let's hope that they continue to look at the portal, because they still need more shooters, and I feel like they need probably one more big man. Probably one more. But I like these two pickups we got. It's really good. I'm really looking forward to next season. And after the NFL draft, I'm definitely going to do a podcast recapping this past season. And then we'll do an early look ahead to next year. Because next year for Wes Miller, in year four of him being the Cincinnati Bearcats men's basketball coach, it's probably make or break. If you don't make the NCAA tournament, then we have to talk about other things. And you guys probably know what those other things are. But we won't talk about that right now. But next season is such an important season, not only for him, but I think for Cincinnati Bearcats men's basketball in general. You got to get back to the NCAA tournament. Been since 2019, a 5-year hiatus. I'm not making March Madness. I am not with it playing in the NIT. If we play in the NIT next year, I might lose it on this podcast. And I've done a good job of not doing that. But if that happens next year, I might break my studio set. I might do that. I'm not with that. This is Cincinnati Bearcats men's basketball. We don't play in the National Invitation Tournament. We play for the NCAA tournament, and we play for a shot to win a national title. Now, I know that's not really, you know, realistic, but get into March Madness, you never know. You never know. Okay. I think that's pretty much it. I know it's a short podcast, but next week is going to be really busy for me because we have the NFL draft. We have the mock draft episode that I will be releasing either Tuesday or Wednesday. Probably going to be on Wednesday. And then next Friday, I will do a podcast recapping the Bengals day one draft with their first round pick, obviously. And then we'll still have our Reds weekly update. And then the post-draft episode, which will be the week after, I will do a podcast recapping all of the Bengals' 10 draft picks of the 2024 NFL draft. So I'm looking forward to that. I already have my mock draft set, and I'm looking forward to just talking to you about it and just getting down with it, because I am just, it's an important draft for the Bengals. It really is. And I'm telling you, man, it just feels like the Super Bowl just ended a month ago. And we already got done with the combine. We got the draft. And then it'll be, we got rookie mini training camp. And then we'll have the offseason with the training camp. And then the preseason. And the NFL season is going to be just right here. Fast, just like that. When they said the NFL is year-round, 365, they aren't lying. That's what Terry told me, the NFL official that was on this podcast a month ago. The NFL is just, it keeps going. Every single month, something is happening. It really is 365. So, looking forward to the NFL draft. So, as always, I appreciate you guys listening to the podcast. If you guys are listening to this podcast on Spotify, give it a 5-star review or leave a comment. I will greatly appreciate. As always, I love my day zero followers. I love my new followers. You guys are the best. Continue to share this podcast or whatever social media platform you guys have. And I think that's it for me. You guys have a great weekend and let's go. Next week's going to be great with NFL Draft. Looking forward to it. Love you guys and I am out. Peace.